This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Randy Zellin, trial attorney and professor of law at Cornell Law School. He's one of the best to discuss a case like this. And I want to get your insight. Lots of warrants being issued just the other day for information regarding this case. 30, 40 different companies being served with these warrants. I think the big question that our audience is going to have is, how is this significant? What exactly are they looking for? Could you give the audience some insight on that?
They are looking for a purchase. They are looking for a purchase of a knife. They are looking for the purchase of a knife sheath. They are looking for the purchase of masks. They are looking for the purchase of anything that would tie Koberger to the crime scene. So they are looking through online and banking statements to see if there were any online purchases made, credit card statements to see if there were any credit card purchases made. They are going through Amazon. They're going through online retailers. They are looking for some evidence to tie Koberger to a murder weapon, to tie Koberger to something that was part of the murder weapon, like the sheath of a knife, anything where there may have been DNA evidence at the scene, left at the scene, an article of clothing, a mask, anything at all to put him at that crime scene.
DoorDash, one of them that was served with a warrant the other day, looking for more information on the exact order, on everything that had to do with that delivery that was made around 4 a.m. and 4:04, the estimated time of the entry of the suspect. Is that a wild coincidence, in your opinion, if you were to speculate on this? Or do you think that not necessarily the DoorDash driver had anything to do with it, but was maybe used as a pawn in some way, shape, or form by the suspect to gain access to the home or to get attention and entry to that area?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
And I think your latter point is probably the better one, which is that somehow DoorDash was unknowingly and innocently dragged into this thing. It may be something as simple as did the delivery person see anything? Did the delivery person hear anything? Was the delivery person approached for any reason? We have seen even on some of those spoof shows, there's a show called Nathan for You, where Nathan will use people as part of the gig.
Sure.
As part of the gag. So it may very well have been that Koberger, who fancied himself an amateur investigator, an amateur sleuth, amateur law enforcement, may have watched one too many Netflix shows and thought, wow, maybe I can create a diversion, or I can gain access, or I can do something to insulate me or allow me to get in where I might not have otherwise been able to get in.
I love the Nathan for You reference. It's very accurate and a great show as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about the second attorney now that they've allowed to come into this, a second death qualified attorney to his team. Can you speak to the significance of that?
It honestly speaks for itself, which is you want someone who has handled the ugliest, most high stakes and can do it like ordering dinner, doing death penalty work. And I've never handled a death penalty case. That's got to be a different animal. I mean, I've done some pretty heavy and pretty heady cases with some pretty significant jail time involved. Even in cases where my client might end up coming out of jail feet first. But that is a far cry from what you do or don't do in a case as an attorney, which could lead to someone's ticket being punched out by electrodes or injection of drugs or a firing squad. That's a different level of burden and responsibility.
Was it Koberger's choice to have a second attorney come into play?
I'm sure he weighed in on it, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it was recommended to him that you really need, no different than if you're going to have brain surgery and you're going to have particularly dangerous and specialized brain surgery, you might want to bring in a second set of eyes and hands who have done that exact kind of surgery before, and it is second nature to him or her, as opposed to a brain surgeon, but maybe someone who's actually not done this mm-hmm. kind of surgery before.
We haven't heard if they're going to try for the death penalty yet. Is it all but assumed that that's where it's going to go with the fact that they have two death qualified attorneys on this team?
It's certainly headed in that direction. And of course, ultimately, that may very well be appropriate. I think it's still too early to speak on that. And we can debate whether or not life imprisonment without the possibility of parole is actually worse than being executed. And there has been debate on that. But I think ultimately we start and stop with, in a death penalty case, I think the stakes, the pressure, and the fact that if you're wrong and you screwed up and your client gets put 6 feet under, and had you done something differently, maybe he or she wouldn't, you can't unring that bell. So I think here the decision to bring in that second death penalty qualified attorney was the only decision to be made.
I know we're still very far away from a trial even taking place. June, obviously, the next hearing that's going to be going on. Evaluating defense strategies for Koberger based on what we know publicly at this point, what road, if you could speculate, do you think they may go down to try and defend him?
I think it's too early to tell. And I say that because in my evolution as a defense attorney, I have become more impressed with a defense that is able to tell a story as opposed to a defense which is simply one of they haven't proved it. Mm-hmm. And I think right now it would appear that the only defense is, well, the prosecution hasn't proved it and they can't prove it. They don't have enough. And I think in this day and age, I think it's true more than ever that the great attorneys are the great storytellers. And the defense here is going to, in my opinion, if they want any reasonable degree of success to the extent that they're entitled to it, they need to think of a story. They need to come up with a story, and it can't simply be, ladies and gentlemen, at the close of all the evidence, I'm going to come back and show you mm-hmm. that the prosecution hasn't proved their case. I don't believe that that dog will hunt.
The only story that I've heard thus far that some have speculated may be the direction would be he showed up to get drugs. Everyone was dead, wrong place, wrong time. Is that a plausible story with the evidence that we know, with the history that we know of him, with the stalking and all of that?
I think we will need to know more mm-hmm. in terms of when we talk about the stalking, how actually close was he?
Yeah.
Could that be chalked up to coincidences? I mean, let's face it. There are plenty of places that I could go, plenty of places that we could go where other people might reasonably be expected to be. And if it happens on more than one occasion, that doesn't necessarily make me a stalker. It might. But I think we need to know more in terms of the accuracy of the cell phone pings and the cell phone data. I think we'll need to know more about the quality and the quantity of the DNA evidence that was found at the scene. Certainly, if it is a match in terms of the DNA, the forensic evidence on that knife sheath, that's going to probably do as much for him as the Murdoch voice on the tape.
Sure.
Where you can no longer deny that. So now you're going to have to come up with a story after the fact. So I think it's too early to tell how the defense and how the story unfolds. And a lot of it is going to have to do with a reaction to the quality and the quantity of the prosecution's evidence.
All right, we will.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight. Randy Zellin, trial attorney and professor of law at Cornell Law School. Always a pleasure to hear your expertise on this. If you want to weigh in, you can do so. We got a phone number. You can call 24/7. We may use your opinion on a future episode. 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537 is that number to dial. And wherever you are downloading podcasts, press subscribe so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you. Get an ad-free version of the show through Apple Podcasts when you sign up there. Go and check that out. We do greatly appreciate that support. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.